The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
On the line at the moment, I have Colin Bird from Extract Resources. Hello, Colin. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Thank you. Good morning.
Good to speak to you again. Right, let's go. Tell me a little bit about XTR and what you do.
Well, we, as it's well known, we're in the mining business, gold mining business in Mozambique. We have a DFS, which is currently in place for an hard rock deposit. But our main activity at the moment is the clearing of the alluvials over the entire concession. They seem to be gold bearing all over the concession, or obviously in different amounts, and you can never test alluvials. But big concession and lots of alluvials, and we've been making announcements over the last few weeks, and I think that probably should refer to the last one.
Yes.
Which was, I think our shareholders and would-be shareholders know that the board, after the woes of about 14 months ago, were determined not to take financial risk, technical risk, execution risk, and of course they're all combined. But we put together these two alluvial projects, and we bisected our concession in two halves, east and west. And on the west, it was a joint venture between two operators. Mm-hmm. The one operator had a plant which was underutilized to the west, and he asked, could he, in actual fact, divide the concession and put the alluvials through his plant, which had been there a number of years, and thus maintain the life of his plant, since his operation was declining. The contractors on the eastern side of the west, if you like, the quarter, they were quite happy for this. They'd installed their plant, which can go up to 400-500 tons an hour, and they were ready for the off. So this was a good arrangement all round, and we let the market know about it. Mm-hmm. And then we saw the opportunity that, you know, it's not as though now we're being raw. We've looked at it from a distance, and we've watched these alluvials. Lots of experience by the South African team, Mozgold. They've been in alluvial mining for years. And so we elected to make a loan. And that loan can be converted to equity, should we so wish, with an interest of 30% per annum. So when you look at it, we're making a small step, not so small if we convert to equity, it'll be 35%. We're making a step into being part owners of one of the alluvial operations. This has removed execution risk. It removed the initial capital risk. And of course, should we not like what we see, we can take our money back. We're the Omnia plant is a very high standard. Sorry, the Mozgold, as is Omnia plant, that's it. The Mozgold plant is high standard, extremely well installed. The people who are operating both the mining and the extraction process are well versed in alluvial mining. And we think we're taking a small step, which could be a massive step for our extract shareholders, because, you know, if you look at 35% of the operation plus what we already get as a royalty, you're probably looking at around about an overall 43%. And the risk money is on loan initially. And we haven't got the execution risk, the capital risk. So I think for our shareholders, we've made a positive move, a good move.
I would agree. Absolutely. So you're talking about the consolidation in the RNS this morning. Talk me through that a little bit. What exactly, you know, to our listeners, what exactly do you mean by that consolidation?
Well, when I first sort of got involved in this Nanika project, I became aware that it was kind of a mismatch, random. Lots of tiny little operations, hard rock, some alluvials, a lot of it subcontracted. And yet, you know, wherever you look, there's gold. This is a very gold, high gold-bearing area, this greenstone belt, which stretches all the way across to Zimbabwe. Mm-hmm. So in my perspective, there's a lot of operations which when the going gets tough, they get going because, you know, they quite can't stand the downfalls and the gold price. Equally, mum and pop operations without too much technical input. And this has led me to sort of take a fresh look at what we've got and take a fresh look in what surrounds us. And of course, already we're working with Omnia, and they're going to work the alluvials on the extreme west. They've got a plant there, so we're utilizing their plant. They're bringing another plant under the concession, and that deal is imminent. I mean, we've set to the market 60 days because documentation sometimes takes a long time, but I'm fairly confident that piece of documentation won't take very long at all. So there you go. We're using the Omnia plant. Now, Omnia have got a big hard rock plant, which is not being utilized. They've got hard rock on the concession. We've got hard rock, which is not part of the DFS study that I referred to. So it may be that we can start another operation on something which is common in South Africa, pool and share. You know, they throw in their plant and we throw in some of our hard rock occurrences, which are suitable for that plant. If the occurrences are big enough, then of course we might jointly add to the plant and put a flotation cyanide circuit, etc., etc. So we're seeing an opportunity to pool and share. We haven't papered that yet and not fully negotiated, but it's in our minds. It's in our minds to do something along those lines. And then the topography takes us over the hill. There's some hard rock deposits over there that we're taking an interest in. And we have two concessions, which have also got alluvials, which another Chinese group are interested in exploring for potential. So all in all, what started off a year ago with one DFS, in February in fact, one DFS to decide whether the Fairbride Gold Hard Rock Gold Project would work, into multiple opportunities. And you know, that greenstone belt extends well into Zimbabwe, so we might be chasing across the border now. Things have changed. Again, the mining not very prolific. The mining, little mines, very sort of pagan in their technical approach. So opportunities where one can go through the border post and then explore and consolidate resource. You know, you don't want to go miles away, so your resources that you've got in Mozambique will be well employed across the border in Zimbabwe. So yes, when I talk about consolidation, there's loads of opportunities.
Okay, so well, that kind of segues us nicely into what you're talking about, Zimbabwe there. I mean, how politically stable is the area?
You tell me. Our area is very stable.
No, I mean, you know, obviously we've seen recently in Zimbabwe there's been sort of, you know, so
I'm... Our area is stable, but you know, politics nowadays, you can go to America if you like, you don't necessarily go to Africa.
Yes, exactly.
It's not an African thing. In my perspective, there's been change. And to predict the effect of that change is, I think, premature. But it's been recognized for 10 years now that the policies currently in place, or what was in place under the past leadership, was not conducive to foreign investment. I'm sure the incoming president will realize that, and that's something he will approach. And the underlying market says to me that it's something he will approach with gusto. You know, let's face it, tourism, they've completely been taken over by the other side of the Big Falls. Zambia, when in actual fact it's a tourist haven, and the multi-metal opportunities are immense. So some relaxation, they don't need to give the ship away, but some relaxation will lead to a lot of foreign investment. And, you know, we're well placed to be in the front of the queue, so to speak.
Well, that's very exciting. So what can we expect in the new year, Colin?
The new year, you can expect that all three operations settle down. When I say all three alluvial operations settle down. Peter pays Paul. If you have a grade fall off, then obviously one of the other places might be getting better grade. And so I'm looking for pretty good kilogram per month figures. I'm looking for our equity participation, if we choose to go the route of equity, yielding very good numbers. And I'm looking to commence the stripping for our for our hard rock operation. And, you know, we've got a company now with a market cap of about 10 million. We've got production, we've got cash coming in. I'm looking around now in Southern Africa for opportunities. Why Southern Africa? I like Southern Africa. You know, I've spent most of my mining career there. The opportunities are good. The law is understandable, transferable to what we do. And so next year should see much of the same, but increasing, of course. I don't know what much of the same we've had this last quarter, because this last quarter has been about getting the operations going, sorting out the process plans, doing test work to see where to dig, where not to dig, and all of those good things. And so the next year, the next quarter should see stable operations, three alluvial contractors working flat out. And of course, the hard rock being finally engineered, financed, and brought into production, hopefully the latter part of the year. With the possibility of an interim hard rock situation, whereby all of our deposits, which are not metallurgically challenged at all, i.e. pre-gold, we may be starting an hard rock operation by mid-year. So we're looking forward to it. Plenty of opportunities. And whilst we haven't completely turned the corner, that's always dangerous thinking. We certainly feel we've knocked quite a few obstacles out of our way, jumped quite a few hurdles towards stabilising what was not a very pretty picture this time last year.
I suppose the other thing that listeners will want to understand or try and know about is what's the cash or financial position for the company at the moment? I mean, everyone's always petrified or worried that the company's going to be looking to raise money and things like that. How do you find yourselves at the moment?
Well, we've got north of £2 million, of course, and we're generating cash.
Yeah.
We're generating more, even though we've been in the startup phase. We've generated more cash than our local operation needs. And, you know, I've not done the figures to the absolute detail yet, because we haven't closed the year off, but I'd rather suspect that even during the startup phase, we've covered the local overhead and the PLC overhead. So that cannot be a bad start. So now we're looking for more than covering overheads, and we're looking towards, and when I say overhead, by the way, I'm looking at sort of 2 months two months production, covering all the costs of 4 or 5 months, you know, the startup, the pre-production startup.
Yeah.
So I think that from a cash point of view, we've got money in the bank, our operations are generating cash, and obviously we'll try and generate more cash. So that is not the top of our list of worry. The top of our list of worry is that it don't rain too much this year, because it can be a nuisance in alluvials. But the operations are well in front, and the slope angles of the pits are good, and the Chinese, the Sino Minerals, have been particularly innovative in designing their operations to combat the effect of rain. So even that shouldn't be a nuisance. So we look forward to a good year, and I also like to thank the shareholders who stayed with this company. I'd like to thank them very much for their support and wish them a happy new year and prosperous new year. Of course, and happy Christmas.
Fantastic. Well, Colin, that's great speaking to you, and it's interesting. It's great to hear that yourself and the company find yourself in such a strong position. As always, can you give us 3 bullet points as to why somebody listening today would want to add Extract Resources onto their Vox Markets watch list?
Alluvials, capitalized and in place, producing cash, and will produce more cash in the new year, value not recognized. Company taking an equity stake, which will substantially increase earnings. The contribution of those earnings not well understood in the marketplace. And a company which is ambitious for more of the same, already identifying opportunities within its own area and across the border, and of course, Southern Africa general. They would be my 3 points.
Well, Colin, thank you very much for your time today. It's been fascinating listening to you, and wish you a very happy Christmas and prosperous New Year.
That's extremely kind of you. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you.
Thank you, Colin. Bye-bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
Good morning, everybody. My name is David Buick. I'm doing the podcast this morning for Vox Markets, and it gives me the most enormous pleasure to introduce you to Christopher Tice, who's the Chief Executive Officer of Path Investments. Christopher, top of the morning to you.
And very good morning to you, David.
Could you be very kind by just telling us exactly what Path Investments does, please?
I'd be delighted to. We are an oil and gas investment company. We're not into exploration. We are investing in oil and gas production or near production assets. And we're building a portfolio of income producing assets with some development potential to deliver yield, and therefore that cash that's being generated from the sales of that oil and gas, pay that back by as a premium yield to our shareholders.
Excellent. Well, let me start off with the first question to sort of develop a variation on a theme, if I may. You've announced a conditional farm-in agreement with 5P Energy today. Could you explain the background to this, please?
Well, delighted to. I mean, we are listed on the official list on the 30th of March of this year. And as I said, our strategy very much to take advantage of the malaise within the oil and gas market, where we saw the ability to acquire assets at attractive prices, but most importantly, as I say, not at the, very much at the lower end of the risk spectrum. So prior to flotation, we'd spent the best part of 2-3 years going out, meeting companies, talking to companies who were all typically cash strapped, and whatever cash that they were generating from their production operations was being ploughed back into their exploration activities to keep their licenses alive, as it were. And so from that list of companies, we derived a short list of assets which we found particularly attractive. And the one that we've announced today, which is the acquisition of a 50% participating interest in a production license in Germany, is the first of those assets which we're bringing to market. There are others that will follow.
Excellent. Now, this question may sound a little bit basic, but I think it just helps us develop a theme, if you see what I mean. Path was set up to seek a suitable transaction in the oil and gas sector. What attracted you to this deal?
Well, I think it's because it very much fits the strategy. So we're looking at the acquisition of principally gas onshore in Europe and beyond, so North Africa, perhaps. But we're not interested in anything unconventional. This particular asset is onshore, it's gas, it is very, very conventional. It is very low risk, and we're saying that anything that we want to get involved with has to be economic at today's prices. It is economic at today's prices. We view life through very much the prism of strict financial hurdles. It meets those hurdles. And the most important thing is that we get paid. It creates a 15 to 20 year annuity stream for us here and enables us to join the dividend list at the first possible opportunity next year. That annuity stream, we believe, is highly attractive to people seeking, you know, above average yield, the yield funds particularly in the city, with a little bit of spice in terms of where we can do a little bit of development work, very much at the low end of the spectrum, to increase production, bring production forward, then that clearly is something we will do as long as we've got a very, very firm handle on the risk involved.
As far as I'm concerned, you've given a pretty concise and clear aspect of exactly how the situation is developing with your company. But are there any principal terms of the transaction that you'd like to develop at all with me just for a couple of minutes?
Yes, of course. I mean, we gave an outline of those in today's announcement. The principal terms of the farm-in agreement are that we're acquiring 50% of a participation interest in the Alfred Elsa 2 production license, which is about half an hour south of Hanover. We are entering into a joint operating agreement that our partners, 5P Energy, will remain as operator for the asset. As I said earlier, we have no interest in operating any of these assets that we're looking to acquire. We're paying consideration. They have one well at the moment in production, which is called Z2. So we are paying some back costs on that of €5 million at completion. There's another well which is currently drilling, which was called Z4, subject to that achieving commercial production which we would hope would be towards the end of Q1 next year. We will be looking to pay them a further 2 million euros by way of partial reimbursement of the costs of that drilling accrued to the beginning of January next year. And then we're also planning another well, which we will be contributing 10 million euros towards. That will be some way down the road next year. But obviously, we have an effective date for the transaction of the 1st of January. So all the cash that is being produced by way of gas sales from the 1st of January onwards accrues to ourselves. But also we start picking up the costs from that date. So 50% of the drilling costs are past January the 1st become ours. And there are a few cash payments to be made upon certain production milestones in the future. But clearly that's based upon success and certain production rates. So all in all, it's as I said, it's a very neat, tidy and attractive asset acquisition for us.
Excellent. Basically, this is obviously going to command most of your immediate time, but there must be other areas on the horizon for Path Investments in 2018. Can you elaborate on them just a little bit, just to give us an idea of what the flavour and what we should investors should look forward to in the years to come?
Oh, very much so. As I said earlier, we've set out our stall to take advantage of the window of opportunity with the current imbalance within the oil and gas sector. That is not going to last forever, of course, and we see ourselves somewhat grandly as part of that clearance mechanism to take it back to equilibrium. However, whilst those opportunities exist, I mentioned earlier that we looked at a lot of opportunities and we have a number at fairly advanced stage, and we clearly intend to bring those further to the fore. And so we will envisage a couple of other similar sort of transactions next year. Our primary aim at the moment is obviously to get this particular transaction closed in January. We will be doing an equity fundraise to finance the consideration, as I mentioned a moment ago, and give us a little bit of cash to seed other transactions. In a nutshell, we are within our own strategy. We're not going to stray from that strategy. Looking for transactions just like this one, which fits that strategy, must have existing production, must be low risk, and must have a proven reserve. You can look for similar transactions to this, hopefully in 2018 and onwards.
I think looking forward, investors will love the idea of focus and not too many balls up in the air, which I think is great. And it only remains for me, Christopher Tice, that's the Chief Executive Officer of Path Investments, to say Godspeed with your plans for 2018. They sound very exciting. Merry Christmas, and I hope you have a deeply prosperous new year.
David, thank you very much. And to all the listeners today, thank you for your attention, and a very Merry Christmas to you all.
Thanks so much.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.